Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
One more nigga come around these parts, talking that shit, put it on my grave, nigga, I'ma throw a fit. One more nigga come around these parts, talking that shit, put it on my grave, nigga, I'ma throw a fit, put it on my grave. Hey. If you want it, baby, put it on my grave. Hey. All right now.
All right.
What do you get?
That is the only Summer Walker song I know.
Listen.
The only single solitary one. But let me tell you something. She did her good work with that song. Mm. You know, I play it regularly because I just love the intro of it. One more nigga come around these parts. Talking that shit. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Oh, yes. Because that is how we observe Martin Luther King Day on Getting Grown.
Yes, I know this is a week after
Martin Luther
King Day for you all as you're listening. But for us today, on today, we are recording on the doctor's day.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's not lost on me that, you know, people continue to lie on MLK just like they lie on everybody else. Yeah.
What? Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. You know, they want to say that he only stood for peace, and he was the opposite of Malcolm. I'm like, no, actually
not at all.
Both these niggas told you all to dismantle this system,
and that's the
and
thing.
That nothing was going to be fixed but until this system becomes is dismantled.
Much more and more clear as time continues to progress is that a lot of the people who like to quote King never really read him. Nicole Hannah Jones, the brilliant Nicole Hannah Jones, has all day long been responding to the quotes, you know, all the tweets, the conservative Republican leaders who are quoting and citing MLK and his legacy today. She's responding to those tweets with actual quotes of his that counter whatever, that are the complete opposite of what the tweet suggests. And it's genius, and I love everything about it.
What's one of your favorite Martin Luther King quotes?
Oh, I'm so grateful you asked, because I just posted it on my LinkedIn. Let me pull it up so I can read it appropriately.
I'll tell you mine. I've had the same one for probably the last 20 years.
This is the one that I reach for this one. I reach for this one often because, you know, in my professional work around, like, you know, advancing diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice in like academic spaces, people tend to think that is just something that you can just say, like, oh, I'm absolutely committed to, you know, equity. I'm committed to justice. I'm even committed to anti-racism. But, you know, that's not just something that you just say. You have to live that in a very particular way. And more specifically, for those particularly people who have benefited from whiteness, white privilege, you know, they fail to recognize that the work of equity, you know, comes at a cost. And so this is one of my favorite quotes. Whites, it must frankly be said, are not putting in a mass effort to re-educate themselves out of their racial ignorance. It is an aspect of their sense of superiority that the white people of America believe that they have so little to learn.
Ooh.
And it's just like, you know, you don't just get to just say. It's just like the virtue of me sort of saying, but you know, someone who's never lived in Brooklyn, if I go to Brooklyn mm-hmm. one day and I say, I'm from Brooklyn, it's like, no. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, anything. You know, you can do that with any, you know, it takes more than just saying it. You have to live it out in a very particular
yes.
way.
Yes.
And people just tend to, they love to just sort of say, of course I'm committed to equity. It's like, prove it. And this quote Nicole Hannah Jones posted in response to the governor of Oklahoma, who so conveniently posted today that Dr. King's dream was the American dream, where one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. He knew that greatness was determined by the content of our character and merit, not skin color or background. MLK's legacy is forever ingrained in history. MLK ain't say nothing about merit, number one. And number two.
That wasn't even a quote. It's not a quote.
And number two, like, this is, you're completely manipulating that, you know, Martin Luther King's famous quote that, you know, he wished for his children to be judged by the content of their color character and not the color of their skin. You're completely misrepresenting the sentiment behind that to advance your own political agenda.
Meanwhile, didn't OU or one of those just get rid of their DE&I department?
Not just OU. He is the governor that has essentially banned diversity programs at all Oklahoma public universities.
Oklahoma, see? But don't quote.
But you see what I'm saying?
So my favorite Martin Luther King quote, which is one that they never like to use either, because I feel like they are the embodiment of it, is nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
Period.
You all choose to be stupid. You choose to be blind. You choose to act as if you don't see, and you choose to be hateful. You make these choices. You make these choices to uphold. I don't even like, Tristan and I talk about it all the time, we don't like the term white supremacy. We like to call it like white psychosis because there's nothing supreme about it. And I know that it is about the ideology of what they think is supreme. Whiteness.
Or just about power, like the dominance mm-hmm. and power.
But it's psychosis is
for
what
sure.
it is.
For sure.
And it's a lot of willful ignorance. This is all this is. Oh, well, we're going to choose to see things in this very narrow way. Because if we try to see it in a wider lens, then we would have to admit that we've been misstepping the whole time.
It's just wild out here, the things that people are saying. This is a congressperson mm-hmm. posted this month, Rep. Lauren Boebert, who is Congresswoman in Colorado, Republican Congresswoman in Colorado, posted mm-hmm. this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we celebrate the life of a man who led a movement for freedom and prosperity for all. The fight was for equality, not equity. What? Wait a second. Like, wait a second.
What do you think? See? Conscientious stupidity. It was for equality and not equity. What does that even mean?
Like, first of all, you don't even know what words mean. Clearly.
You don't. Damn a senator, bitch. You don't have a clue. Like she's like, what's the thesaurus? Like, I have no idea.
Just what's another way to say I have no idea what equity means? Just what's another way to say that? What is another way?
Fuck you mean? that is rich. That's beautiful.
Like,
that is beautiful idiocy.
But these are the people. What is frightening? These are
exactly,
the people
that part, that
who
part,
are positioned
that part.
To make decisions for the ways wow. that we you know, live our lives. What rights we're afforded, what access we have, are in the hands of people who, like you said, are willfully
yeah.
ignorant, And it's totally to continue to center them, to center and protect themselves and their interest. And so, you know, all of that to say, child, I hope that, I know that it'll be a week later, but this is why it's very important for us to educate ourselves and not rely on the powers that be to think about and consider who, you know, who we are, what we need, our humanity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean,
humanity is so thin right now. It's the thinnest skin. Yeah. I was looking at the list of celebrities who signed the petition to release the hostages from Gaza. Guess who's on that list?
Child, don't a skin rate upset me.
Tyler Perry's black ass signed that list.
What? Wait a second. Say it again. Hold on. So,
no, hold on. Let me just pull it up. Hold on.
Please, God.
No, I swear to God. Hold on. I'm about to pull it up. All right.
This is the list of people who did what now? What are the...
Who signed the petition to release the hostages from Gaza. Okay, so this is in support of the Israeli government. Let me look for some ones. Of course, Chris Rock's ass is on that fucking list. But he also said, let Louis C.K. say nigga. So he's a part of it. Jerry Seinfeld, which really just... did it shock me? No. Did it disappoint me? Yes. David Alan Greer.
No!
David Alan Greer. Okay, hold on. There's a whole bunch of them here, but I'm...
This has got to be a lie.
Eric Andre.
It's got to be a lie.
Okay, because I'm specifically calling our people out.
David Alan Greer is a part of that new movie.
Of course, Justin Timberlake's ass signed it.
This cannot be real.
Hold on.
Did they know what they were
Jordan
signing?
Jordan Peele.
Way.
To God.
This is a I'm lie, looking at sister. It. Sister. This cannot.
No, I'm serious.
Where did you get this list? Who? What is?
It's on Jerry Seinfeld's Instagram. Because, you know, Tristan and I are big, like, Seinfeld the show
fans. Do they
fans.
Not understand?
And so he was showing it to me. He was like, yo, look at this shit. And I was like, oh, come on.
Perhaps. I don't want to.
Of course, Patti LuPone's on here. yeah. Sean Combs. Why would you want his name on anything?
What? That's what I'm saying.
Sean fucking Combs.
This is an unserious list.
Tiffany Haddish, of course.
I'm checking out.
Tyler Perry.
I cannot.
Will Ferrell.
I'm not doing it with Madea. Hello. I'm not doing it.
Yes, Madea's on the damn list. Madea's on the damn list. Isn't that crazy?
I just do not.
There's Martin. While we're talking about Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King spoke on behalf of the apartheid happening in Palestine.
Oh, for sure.
Because
for sure.
This is years. He spoke on the apartheid happening in Palestine. Like, you all choose to cherry pick what you want to use for your advantage and for your hateful rhetoric. And you choose to turn a blind eye to human needs, to basic human needs, to human suffering, to how you contribute to human suffering. You choose that. If I came to a fucking fight with a tank top on, in my two hands, and you came to the fight with a box full of bricks and a bag full of guns, it is not a fair fight. And then for you to try to hold me to the same stand, like, you know what? Anywho, it's disgusting. But shout out to South Africa. Shout out to Yemen. You see what you're doing in Yemen? Yemen didn't even do anything violent. Yemen literally just supported the fact that Palestinians needed basic human needs. And what did we do? We fucking bombed them. That's crazy. But y'all want to run around here today using Martin Luther King quotes all over the place. Make it make motherfucking sense. You can't.
Ciao, we got to talk about something else because I can't take no more.
I know, because my blood is boiling. My blood is boiling. And it's boiling because of the because what can we do? We can't do nothing. And they get to remain hateful and in power and stupid. It's so difficult to watch stupid people run things. Selfish people. Wicked, nasty people. But anyway, equity. We got an episode of Getting Grown for you equity, all, and it's not this. We should call this episode Equity, Not Equality. Can we? Because that's the dumbest shit I've heard all day.
I just imagine, remember how I said Jonathan Majors disturbed Coretta Scott when she was getting her role of Say in Heaven? I just imagine.
She said, now what now?
I just imagine Martin Luther King is in heaven reading his newspaper and he said, now what? It's cute.
Coretta, don't even entertain this, Coretta.
What?
Because this is foolishness. I told you last week, this nigga got civil rights kinks. You just call it what it, he got civil rights kinks. That's what this nigga likes to get civil righty in the bedroom.
It makes sense because he dresses like Frederick Douglass. Talk about he want a Coretta to hold him down.
Hello? That flimsy ass suit. That suit boneless. That had no structure whatsoever.
Boneless.
Boneless. Boneless. That is one of the greatest. That fucking suit. That haircut. Like, the fact that you sat up here and hollered at this white woman about how she needs to be your Coretta.
It's stop at five.
Like,
stop at 10.
Coretta need not give this any attention. This please. Nigga is clearly unwell.
Give me
he's
free.
Unhinged. What did is you it? See my Instagram story what where they it? Were all marching and it's Coretta, but then it's Jonathan Majors yes. in front instead.
Yes, I did see that. What did your friend? What did your that series of memes say? We say, liberate me from the binds.
Please, release me from the chokehold of this conversation.
Release me from the chokehold of this conversation.
Please release me from the chokehold of this conversation. I cannot.
Please liberate me.
Jesus, please release me from the chokehold of this conversation. That'd be my homegirl's mom. It is the fun.
I love it. I mean, there's just nothing better than blackness. We know how to it make is. Everything.
Diasporically, there's nothing better than blackness.
We know how to
honestly.
Make everything a vibe.
We do.
You know?
Like, hands down. Hands down. That's speaking why they want to be. That's why they co-opted woke.
Period. They co-opt everything. But speaking of co-opting,
yes.
Have you seen, sister, the clip of Taylor Swift at the football game?
No. Why? No. Doing what?
She and the people in her immediate surroundings were attempting to swag surf. And the comments, sis, people were like, this is not a swag surf. Somebody said it was
racism.
It was given. Somebody said it was white water rafting. It was chaos is what it was. It was complete.
That's the wave pool. Yeah, that's
chaos.
The wave pool.
I mean, imagine the swag surf song coming on and Taylor
Wait,
Swift and about,
to, hold on.
You got to find it. A Taylor Swift hold and about on. 50 other white people.
Let's see here.
Attempting to surf the swag.
Taylor child. Swift. I don't want to search her in my phone. I don't want them to start showing me Taylor Swift
I know.
Stuff. XD already ruined it with that fucking Temu. I'm over it. Okay, hold on. Let's see.
I'm finding a way to blame XD for whoever stole my card and bought up $1,500 worth of Shein. He is responsible. I think he is. He is in some way responsible.
This is swag surfing. Excuse me. I put surfing. They put surfing.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I found it. Did you find it? I'm going to send it to you.
Let me see. Is this it?
Taylor Swift. joined with all of the Kansas City Chiefs fans for a celebratory swag surf dance.
I just want to see. I want to see your reaction to this.
Oh, she's pigeon-toed.
7 in the first round of the AFC playoffs.
What is this?
Wait, you must watch.
On particular significance for the Chiefs, and Swift joined with Travis Kelce's mom, Donna Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes' wife, Brittany Mahomes, to do the swag surf dance with the rest of Chiefs Kingdom as they counted down the minutes until the inevitable win over
Miami. That was whitewater rafting. That was whitewater rafting.
If you think about white water rafting and the chaos of the white waters.
Whoa.
You see how
that was the wheels on the bus go round and round. That was not swag.
It's giving,
swag,
you know,
surfing.
It looks dangerous and unsafe. It looks like folks need to wear a helmet and life preservation vest. It's just, we just,
you know, whoa, what it looked like? Back when they used to show the 3D movies, but they would have them where the stuff would shoot out at you, and then it'd be a bunch of white people, and it'd be like, whoa! Like, that's what it looked like. That's what it. That wasn't swag surfing at all. That
wow.
was.
I don't know what it was. It was something to behold. But
and she's pigeon toed. I learned something new today.
You know, I will close with this. I posted on my stories. I don't know if you saw. Toya texted me in the middle of the night. Watching something. And she said that I was thinking, I've never seen a knock-kneed Asian person.
Toya.
She said, she was like, I don't think that they exist. I've never seen a knock-kneed. She was like, maybe it's the diet. She said, they eat better than we do. And so they're not knock-kneed. And I said, LaToya, what?
What do she be on? I thought there was
an
emergency.
She said, I paused. Whatever she was watching, she had this thought. And she paused the program to share this with me. And I was like, it's just so crazy on so many levels, because you're saying, because you have never seen an Asian knock-kneed person, you now know that nowhere on the earth there's an Asian person.
There's an Asian knock-kneed
person. I said, you have never been to China. You've never been to any Asian country. You've never been there. But I see a lot of Asian people. I see so many Asian people. I see a lot of Asians. And I've never seen an Asian person that's knock-kneed. And I said,
Toya has an obsession with knock-kneed people.
She does. Even though, and I'm just like, let's say you were right. Your theory is that it is because of the food that we eat. You think that,
some people with knock-knees are
knock-kneed because of what they eat?
Okay.
She's like, it's just gotta be the diet.
I want the world to know. Like, we know, but I want you all to understand that this is not the fifth time that Toya has brought up knock-kneed people.
No, it's more like the 55th.
Why are people knock-kneed?
I feel like,
what causes knock-knees? Many children develop knock-knees during early childhood as they begin to walk. An inward tilt at the knees can help children balance.
Knock-knees are when the knees are close together. Space between ankles is increased. Bow legs are when the knees are curved out and space between ankles are decreased.
I'm looking to see if I see any Asian knock-kneed people.
I mean, older.
Now, while this is kind of one topic, but not, it just made me laugh. Have you been watching the new season of Drag Race?
I am behind. I did see the first episode, but I didn't watch this week yet.
So you saw the first episode. So mm-hmm. You saw where RuPaul called that one queen that I really like. It's a black queen from Houston, Crystal something. Slew-footed.
Yes.
When I tell you, yes. I hollered.
Yes.
Now, that was a very black moment.
Yes. And as someone who is slew-footed, I felt seen in that moment. I said, Mother Rue understands me.
Okay, so I just looked up Asian knock-kneed people.
I can't believe this is happening.
And I have to say,
oh God, please.
I'm not seeing any. I'm not. Now, I'm not saying that Toya is right.
Well, if anything, I will say this in my very brief research that I just did this moment. It says that bow legs and knock knees are very common in all children. Howsoever, yeah. You know, it usually something that self-corrects. In the cases where it does not self-correct, it is corrected by surgery, which is considered elective and is typically not covered by insurance. And so there may be a systemic thing where folks don't have the money. Or, you know, people may be better positioned, or in countries where there is more access to healthcare, then this might not be as prevalent a problem than it is here in this country.
Fair.
But what I will say that it has nothing to do with is diet.
Is your diet. Thank I can you. Absolutely attest to that.
I cannot wait to share this information with LaToya.
Yeah.
But yes, guys, that's all that's going on in my iMessage here lately. Thank you so much.
We love LaToya.
We gotta get her back on the show soon.
Yeah, we do. Because LaToya, let me tell you all something. LaToya kept me cackling the entire
cruise. She's a joy.
Cruise.
She's a joy.
And I don't know. Just from that Angela Bassett, How Stella Got Her Groove by Dance Alone.
I cannot envision what my life would be like if she was not a central part of it.
No. No,
because there's so much that I have that I have experienced, like so much of the things that I have laughed at within the last 30 years have dealt with LaToya. Yeah.
Have dealt with LaToya.
I mean,
I go back and watch that Welcome to the Jungle karaoke video now at least once a week.
Yo, we have to do a compilation. Okay, maybe we will do. I will add these. I will send these to XD to be placed upon the Patreon.
Yeah.
Because first of all, ladies and gentlemen, what you don't know is that Jade is a rock star. Heavy metal is Jade's speciality down to the karaoke.
Pretty good.
I don't know if you niggas know. You know, most of the time we go to the karaoke, niggas want to sing SWV. Jade is looking for Metallica.
I said, where's the Pearl Jam?
Where is the Guns and Roses?
Because that's the fun stuff to sing.
And I mean, she gave you her very best performances.
And you know who joined in? LaToya.
Singing Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle!
Absolutely. I mean,
but it's Kia's faces in the background that really sew it up and make it special.
In all of my years of knowing LaToya, I told you guys, I met LaToya when I was in the seventh grade.
Wow.
So what was I? 14?
Wow.
Wow. And in all of my years of knowing her, I never knew that she knew Welcome to the Jungle.
I know you did it.
To be
your
able to
said it.
To perform it. I mean, you would have thought that she wrote it.
Yep.
It was such
Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle. Won't you come in?
It was such an impassioned performance. I felt like, do I even know you? I don't know.
You know, LaToya and I bring out a special side of stupid of one another. And
that is a fact.
We have a Bronx Brooklyn rivalry, and we bring out a special brand of stupid in each other.
It is a deep rivalry.
It is, and it's unfounded. Like
it's
there's no
completely
reason
senseless, unfounded. It's based on nothing.
But we find the most disgusting parts of each borough, and we make sure that we insult one another with them, but we love each other.
It is what is honest. It is one of the most quintessential New York things that the two of you do.
It is.
For sure.
I love LaToya. LaToya. We dedicate this portion of this whatever yes. segment to you.
We
but we do have a little kitchen table. It's okay. not anything too crazy.
Let's get
we
to
got
it.
A little kitchen table that we're gonna do. So meet us there.
Ow.
Ba 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 ba. It's resolution time. So is yours to eat better, save money, or stress just a little bit less? Why pick one when HelloFresh can grant all three of those wishes? Say hello, it's me, to your most delicious and stress-free year yet in the kitchen with farm-fresh ingredients that are delivered right to your door. I'm talking ding-dong right there. And the whipped cream and cherry on top? Those same fresh ingredients are pre-portioned, which also means less food waste. Tired of racking your brain for dinner ideas, or you want to shake up your usual weekly meal schedule? You know, no roasted chicken every Thursday. Rest that brain, baby, because HelloFresh has all the options. And when I say options, I mean options. Think queso fundido with chicken and smoky bacon, plus roasted green peppers, pickled jalapeno, and pico de gallo. Or a salmon and cranberry apple kale salad with roasted veggies, parm frico, and garlic ciabatta. Speaking of healthy, HelloFresh also has over 30 calorie smart and protein smart recipes each week. All your needs. It's meeting all your needs. HelloFresh is so convenient that it allows me more time with the family, or whatever, honestly. And the recipes are so on point directionally and otherwise that Noah gets to help me out in the kitchen with dinner. It's easy. You know, it's not creating a lot of stress. I don't have to worry about her overpouring things because everything is portioned out. And it just allows us more time to spend time together as a family. It's a win-win-win all around. Grant all your own wishes this new year. Go to HelloFresh.com/grownfree and use code GROWNFREE for free breakfast for life. That's one breakfast item per box while your subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/grownfree with code GROWNFREE. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, baby, baby.
Welcome back to the kitchen table. And we know what time of year it is. And we thought that we would do a play on, you know, the time of year. You know, it's the time of year where folks are talking about resolutions, doing vision boarding, vision casting, thinking intentionally and thoughtfully on what they would like to accomplish, what they're hoping for, what their desires are for the year to come. And so Jade and I, well, thanks to Mary. Mary suggested that it would be fun for us to do some live, out loud dreaming as it relates to getting grown in our community of listeners and learners and navigators as we are figuring out how the hell to do this whole adult thing. And so I thought, let's do a little dreaming. Let's do a little dreaming out loud, sister.
Okay.
Let me ask you, as we enter into another year, what are your hopes for getting grown? Where would you like to see the show go in this year or just in the future generally?
Oh, that's a thoughtful question.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I don't think about a lot because I like to let things go where they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's good to put some intentions out there as well, right?
Right.
You can have a balance. As far as the show is concerned, I actually love the direction that the show has gone.
Yes.
You know, we were on our little baby Mr. Tumnus when we first started trying to figure out how to navigate these conversations. We had a lot of lists and things that we did. And I love that it has transformed into meaningful conversations, but organic conversations where we can really talk through things as opposed to, okay, here's a step-by-step of things that we can do to fix, you know, to help us with adulting.
Right.
I love the guests that we've had, especially over the past couple of years. I think we've had some powerful forces in here who specialize in so many different areas in life in general, not just professionally, but in life. And I'm excited to continue to just meet new individuals. I think I've just learned so much through just our guests alone. It's being able to have conversations with people of different walks of life and experiences is really how we learn about this world, right? You go out and you see this world, but also it's talking to people who don't have the same experiences as you. And so I'm excited to continue with our guest list and getting to know so many different individuals. But I think overall, you know, we should be on the TV.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know in what capacity, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be, you know, four bitches on the computer on Fox Soul or like, you know, I don't want to do the, I don't want to be the real, you know what I'm saying? No shade. But, I, you know, in some form or fashion, however that looks for us, I think we should, you know, I would love to see us in that light. But in the immediate future, I'm excited for even just our merch drop, because this is merch that we've been able to like really be intentional about what we want and what we think our supporters would want. And it's designs that we love. It's apparel is what it's not merch. It's apparel. And I'm excited for that. And I'm just, I really love the growth that we've had. And I love the growth personally. I love the growth within our relationship, our personal relationship. I think, you know, the show has afforded us a space. We have a very intentional friend group, right? Like we can sit around and we have conversations about any and everything. But I think having to curate intentional conversations because we work together in this professional setting and have a personal relationship, I think it's afforded growth for us in our relationship, because there's conversations that we might not have had if we're sitting around eating edibles and drinking wine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know exactly where we're going, but I'm excited for it because I do feel that it is somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be in this capacity. What about you?
I'm excited to hear you say that. I think, like you, I have grown to really appreciate the ways in which our this space and our show has evolved. I think that both of us have surrendered to life and letting it unfold. As opposed to trying to curate and plan. Not to say that we're not intentional or thoughtful about what we do, but I think, you know, one of the things that's become more and more apparent to me as I even get older in my life is that, you know, a lot of the things that I was planning and preparing for, you know, In the cases where I achieved the goal, it's anticlimactic in the event in the sense that the goal is not the destination, but it is more of sort of like, you know, the progression from one phase to the next, and the next phase presents its own set of challenges and uncertainties and unknowns. And so it is not about arriving at adulthood, but it is about accepting that adulthood is something that is not to be chased or realized, but just to be experienced and to learn through all of that. And so like you, I'm excited to continue to grow this space as a space for conversation, as a space where we get the benefit of getting insight from people who are doing cool things or have amazing talents or have, you know, experienced different things, who are creators, who are out here, you know, doing amazing things in the marketplace or in innovation and technology, you know, just talking to people, because I feel like, you know, there is no one lane. We're all out here trying to figure it out. And there's all something for us to gain and glean from these conversations that we're privileged to have and to host. And so like you, I'm excited to sort of see us continue to excel and get better. I think one of the things that I can say is I sort of, you know, just to give you credit and give you just to acknowledge you. I see the growth in you as a storyteller, as a host. I like to say that I see growth in myself in those ways as well, but I also feel like we're growing together as a team.
Yes.
In that way. And so I look forward to more experience for us to sort of cultivate the ways that we host conversation. Mm-hmm. And how we sort of use discourse and make discourse and help discourse to sort of be a field where we can practice the skills that we need to sort of live and negotiate all of the mm-hmm. different facets of our lives personally and professionally. So I'm excited to continue to grow and evolve. I also am excited. I feel like we are getting older. I'm excited about the mm-hmm. brand relaunch, the apparel launch,
yes.
the merch launch, because I think looking back on our current branding, you know, mm-hmm. it does represent who we are. Mm-hmm. But our, you know, what's coming very much represents who we have become and who we are
yes.
becoming. So
I agree.
I'm excited to share that with the world and get you all's feedback. And I'm excited to also hopefully curate more spaces where, you know, we can continue to engage our audience in different ways.
Yes.
New ways to do that. But yeah, I'm excited about seeing this show on more platforms, on bigger platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm open to other, like you said, media forms, whether that be TV, hell, film. I don't know.
Hello. So Heather Headley was in She's Gotta Have It as a psychiatrist. I don't see why we can't do the same thing. I'll be the art teacher. You be the principal.
So I just think that, you know, if nothing I have learned over the last few years, that what God has for me continues mm-hmm. to be larger than anything that I can conceive.
Mm.
And so I'm excited to continue to see the ways that my concept of who he had in mind when he created me, when he brought us together, when he made this show, to see
yeah.
that continue to evolve and, you know, continue to sort of, you know, get revelation into what he had in mind when he put all of this in motion in 2017. So
yeah, like I'm excited for us to I feel like we've been following the breadcrumbs, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the breadcrumbs have been there and we've been following them and it's developed so organically the way that it should.
Yeah.
It just has.
Yeah.
And so while I strongly believe in being very intentional about what you want, sometimes you, like you said, what you want, there's something way bigger for you
yeah.
than what you want or what you could have seen.
Yeah.
I was watching that video from Tabitha. Tabitha posted it the other day where Tabitha Brown,
mm-hmm.
Where her very first video, which I'd never seen. I didn't know anything about. I think the first video I saw of Tabitha Brown was a smoothie. She was doing an avocado smoothie or something. I said, who is this pleasant lady? She just so pleasant. Like, it has remained such. And she's a witch. But I mean that in the best possible way. But I saw the video. She reposted the original video, I guess, that went viral and kind of
her
put her on
video.
The internet.
Is it the tempeh bacon sandwich?
Yes, the tempeh yeah. bacon BLT
yeah.
from Whole Foods. And because remember, she wanted to be an actress.
Yeah, she still does. About, yeah, she still wants to be an actress. Yeah.
But that's what she had in mind. I'm sure she didn't even see seasonings and
nope.
her own pickles
nope.
and aiolis
nope.
and chips and clothes
cooking.
And cookies yeah. and like
well, just
she,
cooking that, generally on.
Oh, right. Cooking. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I'm sure she didn't realize that awful ass carrot hot dog was
what?
Actually going to contribute to
that blasphemy
evolution.
Not a hot dog at all. But
Tabitha,
okay.
we love you so much. much, but that hot, that pissed me off. I just want you to know. It pissed me off, sister. Okay?
So. Oh, we love but, we love Tab. We but both love of us Tab. Looking at that hot dog like, say what now?
You know, sometimes things be broken and you got to fix them.
Now,
and,
what?
You know, we don't always get it right. It's like the time my mother made a Rachel Ray 30-minute meal. My mother can cook her ass off, but we said, don't ever make that again. Here? Don't do that. It was it had ham chunks and slices of potatoes. I don't remember. It was the worst thing she's ever made.
Get me out of here.
But I say all that. I diverted. I'm so sorry. I say all that to say she did not envision where she is now.
Certainly not.
And we don't know what great spirit has in store for us.
Yeah.
But I think that we're doing our good work, and I know that it is more. And
for sure.
And I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that.
So let me ask you this. Are there any we've had awesome conversations. And I think what I love about what this space has taught me that like the conversations, typically the conversations that I think are going to hit, they don't do poorly, but I'm always surprised by the conversations that people seem to connect with the most.
Yes.
And so, you know, with that being said, I'm trying to learn to sort of not project or maybe that's not the right word I want to use. I don't even want to guess. I just sort of want to be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. But when I think about potential conversations or things that I think, I know what resonate with sort of me and where I am right now, I do have some things in mind. Are there conversations that you have in mind that you think would be helpful to have on the show in the future?
Yeah. You know, so I have a fibroid, right? Mm. I think I've shared that. I have a fibroid. Now I'm trying to figure out, but like, you know, we're considering this second child.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're winding down in this time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's maybe some body conversations that I think can be had, some health conversations. I know we haven't had a lot of conversations of a sexual nature. And I know this is not the platform y'all generally come to for that. There's so many other shows, amazing shows that are highlighting sexual liberation and being intentional in your sexuality. You've got Horrible Decisions. You've got Good Moms, Bad Choices. And I think that they all do a beautiful job with that particular lane. You know, I feel like a conversation can be had on this side. And I don't know what that looks like exactly. 'Cause it's not about, I just want to talk about sex. You know what I'm saying? But we grown and the show is about learning how to be an adult. And sometimes that includes your sexual experiences as well. So while I know that's not necessarily the lane that we have gone down, I feel like there are conversations to be had, important conversations to be had. But I don't know what that looks like, but that, you know, I'm not opposed to exploring some of those things.
Okay.
And not in a way where it's already being done, because I think it's being done beautifully. But like I said, something that makes sense for us and our platform. And so there's that, you know, I would love to talk to more people who might be dealing with some of these reproductive issues and things like that. I think that those would be good conversations. But then, like you said, there are conversations that, like Dr. Kelly, I will forever say it. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't give two shits. I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is about to look like, but you know, this is my job. It's what I've got to do, and I'm gonna lean in.
Eating disorders?
With the eating disorders, okay. Especially as it pertains to the Black community.
Okay.
That was one of the most enlightening conversations and one that I can firmly say, like, man, I did not expect to pull so much out of that.
Yeah.
And so while there are conversations I feel like we can explore, I also love that sometimes conversations happen here that I don't expect for even myself to be drawn into like that.
Dr. Ruggles? Dr. Kelly Ruggles, she's coming back soon, I know, to talk about Ozempic. and
I cannot wait
all of the ways. Oh yeah,
what is, I cannot wait.
You know, with the rise in popularity of mm-hmm. of drugs like Ozempic, you know what that means for us. What are things that we might bear in mind? You know, yeah. So I'm excited about that conversation too, and that, you know, everything that you said. I think the only thing that I would sort of add to that list, we've had a lot of conversations about negotiating professional spaces, or even mm-hmm. what it's been like to sort of, you know, climb the ladder, or mm-hmm. You know, navigate different arenas of our careers, whatever those careers may be. Mm-hmm. I would like to have more conversations about sort of how to survive those spaces, mm-hmm. But not from like a, you know, not in the sense of, you know, chasing the next level or continuing mm-hmm. to climb the ladder. Mm-hmm. How do you keep your soul safe? How do you keep your heart and mind safe? How do you acknowledge your humanity in spaces that are not mm-hmm. at all, that don't acknowledge or prioritize who you are as a person? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, as we think about recent stories, particularly of Black women in leadership, Dr. Claudine Gay, I don't know if you've heard this, but there was a vice president, there was a university administrator at Lincoln University in Missouri that recently mm-hmm. died by suicide. Largely, and you know, they're attributing that to bullying that she was getting from her, you know, allegedly from the president of that organization and other senior leaders. And wow. So, you know, I'm pulling it up because I want to make sure that I say her full name correctly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there are many, 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 unfortunately, many examples. Dr. Antoinette Bonnie Candia Bailey. Mm-hmm. She, a former administrator at Lincoln University of Missouri. And just, you know, a dynamic senior leader at this institution. And I guess it particularly hits home for me as someone who works in and studies higher education. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I know firsthand, I'm even thinking, and I mean, not to be that Beyonce fan, but like, you know, when Beyonce said that when you are a woman in power, everyone, like, you know, the labor of having to convince people that you know what you're talking about.
That you know what you're talking about, right.
You know, in environments that seem to be programmed to believe that you do not. Mm-hmm. It's a fight that is taxing. And I think yep. that I'm experiencing it personally right now, sort of transitioning into leadership in certain ways. And so mm-hmm. I am honestly, you know, mortified by mm-hmm. what I've seen with Dr. Gay and Dr. Candia Bailey and yeah. all of the other women who are literally losing their lives or livelihoods or literally just being targeted mm-hmm. in this way, demoralized, dehumanized in this space. And all we've ever wanted to do was work to affect change. Mm-hmm. And those spaces don't seem safe for us anymore. And so in the spirit and in honor of Dr. Candia Bailey's life, and in tribute to and in acknowledgement of what, you know, Dr. Gay is going through, and thinking about all of the other Black women leaders and Black women academics who are fighting literally for mm-hmm. our lives out here. mm-hmm. My hope is that we could continue to talk candidly and openly about ways that we might work to keep ourselves whole and safe and supported, not just to get the next publication or the next title or the next degree or the next position,
right.
but so that our spirits may not be stamped out by what is happening in the world that we have for centuries worked so hard to literally save.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's something. That's something.
See,
that
that's not a conversation I would have ever thought I would be a part of.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, I'm speaking and giving examples from sort of my field, but I'm sure, you know, Black women in who are, you know, chefs and leaders in culinary situations are also often are also sort of fighting some of these same systems and structures and ideologies. And so what are the ways? I know that this space has often served as a safe haven where we can come in and safely disclose what we're struggling with and find hope and help and answers and all of that. And so to the extent that we can continue to curate those conversations and not, I know, I mean, I've been thinking a lot because I mean, part of me is sort of struggling with some dissonance around team typing fast because as I sort of work through my perfectionism and realizing that it is, you know, rooted in service to ego and service to self and service to trauma and not service to God or service to purpose or service to people. I am sort of thinking about, you know, all of us, you know, who are recovering overachievers. We've been sort of programmed to believe that if we succeed in very, you know, specific ways, then we'll be safe. But the truth is, accolades and those kinds, you know, those things don't keep you safe. They don't, they don't keep you alive. They don't keep you, you know, hungry. I mean, fed. They don't keep you housed. They don't, like, you know, but you know, they do afford you some flexibility and choice as you move forward. But unfortunately, that flexibility and choice is beholden to a larger system and structure that can decide whether or not you succeed.
That's true.
Not because of what you know or what you what your expertise is, but because of who you are and what they think about you by virtue of how you look or how you were, the body that you were born into. So the dissonance that I have around team typing fast is because, you know, I want everyone to get what they want. And so team typing fast was always about encouraging and supporting us to realize our goals. But I don't want to foster, if I think about the Nat Ministry book, like I don't want, I feel some strain and I don't feel comfortable promoting, you know, doing just, you know, doing your work, in a system where it doesn't seem like that matters.
And I understand that.
That hurts my feelings to say. That just hurt my feelings to say out loud. Because, you know, I am proud of what I've done, what I've been blessed to accomplish. I have worked my ass off. I have. I am working hard. And not because I want people to call me Dr. Kia or think that I'm special, but because I give a damn about the other Black and brown people that are coming behind me.
Yes.
And I mean that. I'm not saying that for kicks. I'm not saying that for points. I'm saying that because I know what it's like to be the only one in your classroom. I know what that's like. And so I want to make those classrooms safer and more accepting and acknowledging of people who come from where I come from. But, you know, I don't care how many publications I have. I still have to prove to people who went to a third of the school that I went to that I know what I'm talking about in order to even be heard. So it does sort of make you question, like, why am I burning myself out? Literally, sister. You have seen me burn the candle at both ends since you've known me.
Have.
And I have gotten sick. I have gotten depressed. I have lost weight. I have gained weight. I'm struggling through all kinds of life. And, you know, we are still being bullied. We are still being targeted. So I went on a bit of a rant there, but I feel like I'm very much,
because that's the world I'm that we struggling. Live in. This is the system that they've set up.
I'm struggling.
I get it. And I and the comforting, darkly, thing is that we know the world that we live in, and we know the society that we live in, and we know what they place importance on, and we know why we end up having why something like Team Type and Fast was birthed and created, right? Because of the society that we live in. It's a capitalist society that says you need to work hard, and then it's a capitalist country that says you need to work hard and you need to work until the end of your days to make sure that you are where you want to be. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And I think I think there is room for Team Typing Fast to exist if you're honoring the humanity that comes along with that, as you're saying out loud right now. I want to reach my goals, but I want to reach my goals with balance. I think we live in a world where a Team Typing Fast and the NAP ministry can both exist.
Yeah.
You know, and the variations that they are supposed to, and they can serve the purpose that they are each supposed to serve. You know, somebody may tune into this when it's a helpful period in their life when they need it, and then they tune into this thing when they need that portion of life.
For sure.
So, but I do understand why you feel the way that you've had, and I want you to understand that those feelings are valid.
I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you sharing what you share, because that's not easy either, right? This is an entire brand that you've built, and you've built it off of your work and what you do. And I think you're grappling with your work and this world. And that's real.
And I think, you know, we've been conditioned to think about productivity in one particular way. But if we, if I take what I've learned through reading books like the NAP Ministry, you know, there are, you know, rest is not a reward for productivity. It is a right. It is
exactly,
you know, it is, but, and, you know, this is related, but it's kind of an aside. So, you know, remember in the last episode, my Black Woman Self-Care, I talked about my metabolic reader, my metabolic tracker.
Yes.
And it is really, I'm learning a lot through it, right? Because, you know, what I'm learning is how things like a lack of rest impact my body. Like, you know, I literally can see and have hard evidence that when I sleep for 5 hours, the impact that that has on my body and its ability to sort of process food and burn fat and burn carbs versus when I have 7 hours, it is mind blowing. Like, like, and when I think about all of the stress, not just in terms of work, but just the ways that, you know, not prioritizing getting a good night's rest, not prioritizing making sure that I'm eating the right foods and moving my body, how that contributes to the stress, that is in addition to the stress of just being Black in this world. So on top of negotiating, while we were all figuring out how to live during a pandemic and the stress of that on our bodies, it was further complicated by the fact that, you know, I was in here, I'll speak for myself. I was in here staying up all night, doom scrolling, watching TV and doing all kinds of things just to, and I thought that those things was help keeping me sane. But this little tracker is showing me how those things, and you know, I've read it and I've seen it, but you know, you can just dismiss those kinds of things. But this little device is helping me sort of see when I stay up all night and finish that paper versus going to bed and just trying it again the next day, the actual toll that that takes on my physical health, not to mention my emotional health or my spiritual health, but literally my body, I can see a difference. And so that is something that I want to, so the NAP ministry, you know, it's just sort of like further substantiating the things that, you know, Trisha, Dr. Trisha was talking about in the NAP ministry book about how who we are as a people is only best realized when we honor our bodies enough to rest. Yes. And Dr. Friesbrit shared with me when I was at ASH and we just sort of had our mentor mentee sort of catch up session. And one of the things I want to have conversations I want to continue to have is I just want to continue to bring people who are in different seasons of life on the show, not to talk about a topic or a thing, but just to sort of talk about, you know, like Dr. Friesbrit, just she, I have conversations with her and she just says, helps me to sort of understand my body as I transition into 40s. Yes. You know, what this is meant for my relationship with my family, how I'm situated in my family, my relationship with my mother, you know, all, you know, how I, you know, how my elections may need to change for my insurance, you know, tax issues, building wealth. These are the kinds of lessons and conversations that I want to have and prioritize. And Dr. Friesbrit told me at ASH this year, she was like, you think when you get older that, you know, you find a rhythm of productivity and you know how to maintain that and you don't need as much rest. But the truth is, the more you age, the more rest you need. That's the only way that you're going to continue to age in the right ways.
Yep.
And it sounds very commonsensical when you say it like that, but you know, she was like, are you resting? Are you resting more? Because you need to be resting more than you were resting last year. Heard and it was like,
I'm not.
I am not actually.
No, that needs to be intentional. And I think that can exist within Team Typing Fast.
Yeah.
That is that you build a space for that. So that, because sometimes people don't realize the rut that they're in.
Yeah.
You know, when they are focusing on a goal and how other things that may not conventionally be a part of that particular thing. You don't think about rest when you think about Team Typing Fast, but no, this is important. So there is a space and a lane. And I also would love to explore conversations where we bring a Dr. Friesbrit and she just talks to us about life.
Yeah, like, and not just her, but other.
Yeah, right. Her as an example.
Seasoned, experienced women who have seen the world in ways that we hope to see it or ways that we've yet to see it. Just coming in here and just being like, girl, because even, I mean, Tabitha Brown was talking on her social media this past weekend. She's perimenopausal.
See?
And what, you know, sort of, you know, she just recently learned about all of the ways that entering that phase of womanhood changes your life. And she was like, all of the ailments that I've been having this past year, my doctor was essentially telling me that these were symptoms of being in perimenopause and nobody told me. And she was like, why are we not talking about this? I was like, why are we not?
Why are
because
we not?
Because I need to know what I'm walking into. I don't want to be blindsided.
You know, we all have seen our mothers fan themselves into oblivion, but you know, I think it's important to have deep.
But like the emotional and how it affects you emotionally, how it affects your sex life, how it affects
life,
you know,
your hormones,
you know, all of these things.
Attitude.
So yes, all of that to say, we're still growing, and we've got a lot more growing to do. And I want to hear from, you know, I would love to hear from our audience. Like, y'all tell us what y'all want us to talk about. Help us to, you know, make sure we're filling our scheduling calendar and being intentional about creating space for us to figure things out together. So if there's a challenge or a question or curiosity that you have that you think would make for some good processing time here and getting grown. Like, we don't sell the answers. We don't have the answers, but we can talk it through.
We can. We can have a conversation.
Okay, we can have the conversation about it.
Which is adulting. Because sometimes it's just talking through it and talking through it several times.
Yes,
you don't always have you don't always come to a conclusion, a baseline.
Yes.
But yeah, we would love to hear from you all. What are some of the conversations that, because we, you know, Key and I can just get on FaceTime and talk to each other. Like, and you guys are a part of our community. So we need to hear from you and the types of conversations you would love to hear it getting grown. And remember, you can do that at hello@gettinggrown.co. And I think that I like that, sis. You know, a little bit of like, you know, you gotta zoom out for a second so you can zoom back in.
Period.
Well, with that being said, I think we should get on to our self-care. Shall we do it?
I'm with it. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay authenticity guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
I deserve
All right, it is self-care time. And my self-care is a little different this week. So I have a good friend here, part of one of my good sister groups named Mariam. Shout out to you.
Hey.
And Mariam is one of the, let me tell you, that's a revolutionary ass bitch.
I love it.
Like, she is one of my favorite human beings to listen, just listen, talk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She just sits down. She just gets going. She says wild shit. And you don't know where it's getting ready to go, but it always ends up in the right place. Mm-hmm. And Mariam is just, she's an amazing mother of five.
Oh, wow.
You know, so you know that comes with, you know, just, that's a lot of life and happening. And so it was her birthday. And we wanted to celebrate Mariam the way that Mariam deserve to be celebrated for the amazing being that she is. And so the girls and I, Santana, Mary, our friend Isamar, Chanel, we all got together and we celebrated Mariam. We got balloons and Santana made the most beautiful cake. Chanel made the most beautiful meze platter. I ordered the most beautiful tea wings, and pizza, and made, you know, a sangria, and we just adorned her with love, and she felt celebrated, and that was the point. And that's why it's self-care for me, because to see the people that I love who deserve to be loved on the ways that they deserve to be loved on, to be able to do that, and to be enveloped in such a village of women, and all of my giant village of women, you know, that includes you and Crystal and Fran, and just all of my good girlfriends are part of my village. And so to be able to be a part of such a phenomenal village of women it fills my spirit. When I hang with I'm in love with my friends, you know, in a very platonic way. I'm in love with you all. Like, I love to celebrate you. I love to love, maybe not love on you physically because I'm not a big hugger. but I love to celebrate the people that I love. And I love that we all love to do that for one another. So that was self-care for me this week. When I get to be with some of my girls, it's just, it's soul filling.
Yes.
So that's my self-care.
Wonderful.
Happy birthday, Mariam. I love you, boo.
Happy birthday.
The Dawn of the East is what we call her.
Yes. I love that. Happy birthday. My self-care is very, It's a small thing, but it was a big thing to me. And I guess in the spirit of our conversation during the kitchen table, you know, I have a lot of projects, winding down some of the projects from last year still. And I have a final report due. And my Black woman self-care is that I asked for what I needed. I asked for more time.
Yes.
And this was, it was hard for me because I had a lot of internal dialogue and feelings. I was honestly afraid that me asking for an extension would be a poor reflection on me as a professional. And, you know, I want to do well. I want to make a good impression. And I honestly want to do good work. I'm really excited about this project and what, you know, the potential of this work to sort of really be impactful to the organization that I'm working with. But, you know, just in sort of managing a lot of different things at one time, it wasn't that I, you know, hadn't done the work, but, you know, just sort of writing up the final report, the summary of activities, I found myself in a crunch where I, you know, needed, you know, I mean, I could have gotten it done if I stayed up all night and tortured myself in ways that I have in the past. But I kind of reached a breaking point and I had some feelings about it, but I reached out to some people that I know and love and trust and people that know me. I talked to Felicia. I talked to LaToya. I talked to one of my mentors, Karen. And, you know, just was sort of reaffirmed, you know, just sort of that self-talk sort of shook my confidence. And so I was reaffirmed by my support team and then just made the decision. Like, I wasn't asking for an extreme, just like, you know, the paper was due on Friday. I was asking for the weekend to just, you know, get it done and do it right. And I did, and I was very proud of myself and, you know, still a little nervous. But like after I did, I got an email back from my point of contact and he was like, honestly, girl, I'm off until Tuesday and I wouldn't have read it anyway. So it in. And it just sort of like relieved me from all of that sort of pressure, you know, like just
good
girl. You needed
good
some more
for you
time.
Just
ask
saying,
for,
you
ask
know
for
what
you need.
I need this. Like, I'm not going to stay up like you just spoke about. I'm not getting ready to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, just to do some half-ass work on top of that. Because you're not even thinking clearly at that time. Let's be very clear. I'm not going to stay up till 3, 4 in the morning. Like, is anybody going to combust? We don't work underground. Right. You know, we're not stopping volcanoes.
Right.
You know, we're not stopping bleeding. We're not medical doctors.
Right.
Nobody is going to combust if certain things don't get done at a certain time. And that doesn't mean you get to take your sweet ass time with everything.
Right.
But that also means giving yourself grace and giving yourself some ease, you know, for things that, you know, are not getting ready to blow up in a matter of 2 days.
Straight like that.
Good for you, sister. I'm glad that you are proud of yourself. And I hope it was a good example for how you're going to continue to move, you know,
I'm
with what you need.
I'm going to try to continue to reprogram myself to ask for what I need and not feel bad about it. Because as someone, honestly, another thing I had to remember, like, I'm also the person now that receives reports from other people. And, you know, I don't think less, like if one of my grantees or one of my partners needs more time on a deadline and they ask me for it, I don't think less of them. So I don't,
exactly.
I need to sort of reprogram that part of me that feels like folks will think less of me if I ask for what I need. So
and
that was
maybe
just a lesson
also
learned.
This, I hope somebody's listening to this who might be putting pressure on other people. Where it's like, you know what? Let me just chill out a little bit. This is not a fire. You know, this is something that needs to be developed. This needs some time. So I don't know what what else this person has going on, because this can't be the only project or the only whatever that they're working on. And so maybe giving grace to, I hope this is an example to somebody else, to give grace to other people as well, you know, with certain deadlines. If it's not a wedding, you know, if it's not something that's got like a hard finite, yeah, this has to be done by
it's
this
happening
time,
on this day. Yeah.
Then what are we doing?
Right. Right. Exactly.
What are we doing?
Exactly. So resituating time and the pressures that we often associate with time. And I'm proud of myself for, despite my fear and deep anxiety, I basically mm-hmm. was just like, girl, send an email. I asked that man if you can.
And that man said,
he was what? Like, child, what? I knew it was, well, this is the funny part. I sent the email and I got his auto reply, his out of office. And I was like, he not even there.
See?
And so then he responded, it was, and confirmed, like, oh yeah, I'm not going to be back until Tuesday anyway. So carry on.
There's no reason for you to rush. There's no rush.
I was just, and it really did help me, because I went to bed that night without this thing hanging over my head. Yeah. And I was able to actually get some real sleep, which was not something that I'd been able to do in the days leading up to me sending that email. So
I've got to be intentional about my sleep this year.
I do, like, too.
I've got to be intentional about bedtime.
I don't like how it is making me feel in my body and in my head. Mm-mm. I don't like it. And honestly, I mean, I'm also working. One of my goals for this year is working on being off, like having some hardcore, like, I am off work. I need to.
Computer. Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, the day is over. Mm-hmm. I need to get on my Big Red from Five Heartbeats. I need to get on the business hours are from 9 to 5.
That's it. And don't hit me up at 9. Don't hit me up at 8.
Eastern Standard Time. I don't care what happens after 5 Eastern Standard Time. I'll have to deal with it tomorrow.
I don't care where you chose to live. If you're working from California, do not hit me past 2 p.m. Your time.
Listen. Because everybody else does it. You know? Yeah. And I honestly fall into, like, because I don't have a partner or kids, you know, I feel like, well, you know, I'll just blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no. Sometimes I need to act like, okay, I'm off work. I'm leaving. I got to get to my responsibilities at home, no matter what they are.
Including these recordings. I'm period. Like, what's the earliest we can start?
Like, I have another commitment.
So I
can have
the rest of this day.
Yes.
So I'm not going to bed at fucking 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m. to wake up at 6:30. No, I love that. We're going to be intentional about our rest this year, and we're going to have to be accountability partners about too.
Yeah, I'm down. I definitely need it.
I'm going to bed now.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. With that being said, we're going to go into these petty peeves and end this on a little negative note.
Oh, the only way.
Let's do it.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
My petty peeve is very direct and to the point of my nerves. Okay, so this morning I woke up and I realized I needed some, you know, I think it was a medication or a vitamin or something. And so I didn't really feel like getting in the car and going down to the Walgreens. So I just ordered it on the Uber Eats, child. And so while I was there on Uber Eats, I also saw that, you know, I have become very good at making my at-home medicine balls, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, let me get a little bit more Simply Lemonade so I can make my tea today. And so I had added my items to the cart. Mm-hmm. My Uber Eats shopper, I guess they were out of Simply Lemonade. Now, I had elected in the app that if they did not, you know how they have a replacement? I had elected if they are out of Simply Lemonade, just simply give me a refund.
Don't need anything else.
I don't want nothing else. So my delivery arrives at my door, and I open the bag to realize that this young man has replaced my lemonade with orange juice. And I just want to know, in what reality is orange juice a suitable replacement for lemonade?
It never is. Like, they're not even, it never is. It never is.
I just cannot imagine what rational thinking mind said, oh, they asked for lemonade. Oh, they don't have that. Well, they'll just drink orange juice.
I'll give them orange juice.
No. And I, to add insult to injury, I think I saw, you know, was notified in the app that they were out of lemonade. And I saw that he replaced it with orange juice, and I typed in the chat, please, I elected for a refund in the instructions. Please, I don't want orange juice. Please give me.
He brought you orange juice anyway.
I mean, the orange juice was just in the bag looking at me. I said,
Y'all just don't pay attention. Y'all don't give a fuck. You have, first of all, half the time, it don't be the delivery people that are on the apps. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, Brittany is approaching with your order, and then it'd be Manuel.
Exactly.
Or you know, Rayshawn or whoever, because they couldn't get an Uber Eats account or a DoorDash account or whatever
I am exhausted. I don't even know. But I just, are y'all okay?
Well, my petty peeve this week is kind of gross.
Oh, boy.
Crystal Jean and I went to the movies.
Nice.
Where did we go? Oh, we went to go see The Book of Clarence. I told you that. Now, when we left the movie theater, no, The Book of Clarence is not my petty peeve, but it could be.
Lakeith Stanfield, your petty peeve.
Lakeith confuses me at every turn. A nigga be confused, okay? Like, I just be confused.
I too am confused by Lakeith Stanfield.
Every time I walk away from a movie, I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like,
I have no idea. No idea.
What was that? I don't know. You know, and I just want to, I want to like love it, but I still keep electing to go see these movies. Anyway, we leave the theater, we go to get into the Uber, and we get in the Uber, and we both have masks on.
Mm-hmm.
Because COVID is running rampant, just so you know. COVID, RSV, flu, all of it.
Everything.
So we go to get in the Uber. And as soon as we get in, we looked at each other. You know why? Because the Uber driver farted. He clearly farted right before we got into the car. But here's the thing. There wasn't a window cracked. Like, my guy didn't roll the windows down. Nothing. Just farted and let it hang out. And we both looked at each other, and I knew it was a fart because the minute, so I'm immediately like, sir, I don't care what fat bastard said about somebody loving the smell of their own brand. Roll this motherfucker down when you know somebody's about to get in it. Like, you knew you had a ride. You pulled up and the windows were up. They were not down at all. So I rolled the window down, and what happens? The smell dissipates because you just got to air that bitch out. And I was disgusted. I was disgusted that this man fired, because I know if the both of us got in this motherfucker with mask on and smelled your fucking fart, you are up there. You are up there enjoying the waft of your own funk.
I am aghast, really. I don't even know what to say.
I was disgusted. I was like, it's bad. You're a driver. You should always have a little Osium with you or a black ice. I don't give a fuck, nigga. You're supposed to have something in there to spray at some point, because I cannot stand. I understand you're driving all day. You got to eat in your car. This is your job. I'm not getting ready to try to disrupt your life. But please, if you know you've been eating bananas, crack the window. If you've been eating Subway sandwiches, crack the window. If you just fucking farted, crack the fucking window. So,
wow. I mean,
nigga just let us get in and be enveloped in his fart, and I was disgusted.
How unfortunate.
I'm not a person who's so irrational where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you farted. Like, just don't do things like fart on me, which is what my child does. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Not crack the windows when you know we about to get in the car. Like, don't be crazy with it. Don't be crazy with it. Like, I get it. Everybody farts. Everybody poops. But like, have some couth, nigga. Please.
Please.
That's it.
And on that note.
On that note. On that funky ass note. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of This Shit Here. Make sure you all stay tuned and on the lookout for this merch drop that's coming your way. Baby, coming the girls are about to get dolled up and take pictures for the kids. So yeah, we got that coming your way here soon in the next and we appreciate you all for your constant support going right on into the 7th year of This Shit Here. Crazy boots. So sis, tell them what to do with themselves.
Make sure that you are always moisturizing your mind by drinking just as much water as possible. You want to moisturize your you want to moisturize your mind. I'm sorry. You want to moisturize your mind by minding your business and also getting a nap in, because clearly I need one. That's minding your business is how you keep your mind moisturized. You want to moisturize your insides by drinking as much water as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And then you want to moisturize your skin because it's cold outside and
as fuck.
Your black will crack if it's dry and ashy. And if you think orange juice is a suitable replacement for lemonade.
Crazy boots. Or you'll turn red. That's how white people ash. Okay, bye. Oh my God.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.